You're listening to 89.1 KMUW. I'm Fletcher Powell. Journalist Jean-Pierre Regis and his mother Rebecca Danagelis became something of a minor sensation in 2017 when word got out that following Rebecca's sudden firing from her decades-long hotel housekeeping job, Jean-Pierre came up with a novel way to help her cope. He asked her to create a bucket list of things she'd always wanted to do, but that her job had kept her from trying. He documents their sometimes joyful, sometimes profound journey in the new film Duty Free, a movie they hope will shed light on the experiences of caregivers and the obstacles facing the older generation in this country. I recently spoke with Jean-Pierre Regis and Rebecca Danagelis. They began by telling me about the shock that set their story into motion.
You know, this film, in a lot of ways, was a cry for help. On my part, you know, when my mom lost her job and was given 2 weeks pay and essentially an eviction notice, I realized that her world was crumbling and the only person that would be there to help her was me. And so as a former journalist, you know, my gut reaction was to pick up a camera and start shooting. And, you know, over the hours and hours, hundreds of hours of footage, I realized that this was an act by me to make sure that my mom was taken care of, putting this film out and showing sort of like the need for family and how families help each other survive. It was just a way for me to process my own feelings and hurt.
For me, really the shock, I've worked very hard. I've been a director of housekeeping for 40 years. I put the particular hotel together. I lived in the building. And I let my work define me. I gave my heart and soul to the place. And then just suddenly to be told on one call to the office and tell Rebecca, we value you as an employee, dear, but today is your last day. We're restructuring. It was a shock. I heard about this happening to other people. I never expected it to happen to me. Never. And basically, Jean-Pierre came to my rescue.
Rebecca, you said you let your work define you. I think even for people who voluntarily retire, which of course you very much did not, there's probably a sense of a loss of purpose when you don't have that job anymore. We certainly, many of us define ourselves by our work. And so I'm wondering what that was like for you to lose that part of your life, that sense of purpose.
I mean, the days just were I just cried. I just didn't know what I was going to do with my. I had to find another job. And you're not good at filling out all this stuff. I mean, mine has always been a very hands-on job. So I was speaking three languages, directing people, training people in three languages, doing this, that, and the other, but not actually sitting at a desk and doing stuff on the computer.
There was a desperation. I mean, that's, I think, the easiest way to define what I saw over the 2 years, a desperation to feel valued for my mom, to, you know, a desperation to find a new purpose, a desperation to, you know, have a paycheck. All of those things I think my mom went through when she lost the one thing that she could depend on for over 40 years.
I think that desperation really does come through in your footage in the movie. It feels like when you have those crises in your life where you become just kind of untethered, where you really are flailing, I mean, there is that sense of panic that comes through.
Totally, yeah. And there are phone calls in the film that you'll see that, you know, it's, you hear it in my mom's voice. And I had never heard my mom so desperate, so desolate, so hurt. And, you know, that was really where the gut reaction came from for me to say, I need to do something. Not only do I need to make sure I'm recording this, but I need to take her away from this misery.
You're a journalist, and so you do have some experience with having a little bit of distance from your subject. But this must have been very difficult to film this, have your mother be your subject during maybe the most raw experience you'd ever seen her go through.
Yeah, it was really hard. And, you know, Fletcher, it came at a really interesting time because it was in 2016 that this happened. And that was, you know, during sort of the rise of our former president. And I thought, like, wow, there's so much misinformation out there, so many fake stories. Well, this is a story that I can tell truthfully and honestly and fully. And I think that want and that desire to tell a story completely is what, you know, held me back from putting down the camera and giving my mom a hug in the hardest moments. It was, you know, knowing that, like, if I can just be objective in this moment and capture this, then I think there are a lot of people on the other end who will see this and see themselves in it. And that's really what kept me going. But it was extremely difficult to hear your mom cry, who's at 75, it hurts. It really, really hurts. It was definitely, I mean, the most emotional years of my life, for sure.
And so you hit on this idea of the bucket list, and you're trying to figure out how to support your mother financially, but you hit on this way to help her emotionally, actually physically writing it down and going through the things you wish you'd always done.
Well, I actually, he just told me, he says, Mom, I want to take you on a bucket list and get you away from all this. Write down a list of all the things you couldn't do when you were working. And, you know, I had to think for a while, but then I remembered all the things the guests who came into the hotel told me they were doing. I'd say, hello, Mrs. Jones, you come back this year. Yes, we're going to pick up Brent from summer camp with Adriana. And we thought that we'd just go to the, we'd go and milk a cow. Then you got the marathoners every year after year, that come in with their big silver capes all wrapped around in pure misery, limping along. I said, why the hell? And I know all the people, year after year, lovely people, but always after the race. I've got to experience this to see why they keep doing it. So do the marathon route. Did that. Then the hip hop. I've always watched Jean-Pierre and his college videos and dancing and getting all loose and everything. Well, me, as an old Victorian mothered person, I'm rather more of a minuet style, but I wanted to see the feeling. I wanted to have the feeling that he had when I saw him flopping around, flailing.
That was my favorite. We took a hip-hop class with a dancer from Hamilton, the musical, and my mom killed it. She absolutely killed it. It was a great experience to watch.
Yes. Well,
You know, those are fun to watch during the course of the film, but there are certainly some more profound moments, and one of those was reuniting with the daughter that you had sent to live back in England many years before. And from what I understand, you had no contact with her. Is that right?
We had contact, but she had gone to England. I was very ill, and I weighed 67 pounds. I had tumors removed from my breasts. My sister took my daughter, who was then only 3, back to England. And we talked on the phone and everything, but as a young girl, she had a great, you know, upbringing. American College in Cairo and boarding, everything like that. But what I didn't know was, and I found out on this journey, and is she wasn't happy. She wasn't happy because I wasn't with her. And I'm thinking, you know, well, she has to be taken care of, but I'm not looking at the inside heart of a little girl who was basically very lonely, and it's carried with her. And so we have reconnected, and now we talk almost every day. And my little granddaughter, I had only seen her when she was a baby. I had the opportunity, I put on my list, I want to bake a cake with my granddaughter. So many mummies and daddies and go to granny's house and granny cooks. I never had that because it's 3,000 miles away, and I would work every day. So
yeah, there's certainly some profound and heavy moments in the film that are very human, I think. But then there are some joyous ones, and it's that adventure that I think makes the film so enjoyable and deep to watch.
One thing that I really love is that you're really seeing a generosity of people, whether that's people that you've never met before who let you milk a cow, or Rebecca, whether that's your daughter, who I think it's clear in the movie that she has some amount of pain from those years, but she's not letting that get in the way of your reunification, of welcoming you back into her life. And I think that shows some generosity as well, that emotional generosity.
We've heard so much from people around the country, you know, not only to say this happened to me, I was fired late in life, but also to say, hey, I see you're on a bucket list adventure. Come to Sri Lanka. Like, we'll swim with dolphins. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, the film Duty Free is like You know, you kind of see both sides of humanity. You see the hard and sort of the cruel, right? Which is like the people who kind of got rid of my mom. And then you see the other side of humanity, of people who are so generous and care so much about her happiness. So it was just incredible.
People I don't know, China, Greece, Argentina.
Seeing all of these people around the world come and share their experiences with you, and see a bit of themselves in your experience, that really does open us up to the people in the world that we may walk by every day and don't even think about.
Yeah, a big part of this film is particularly around older people, right? I mean, this is an intergenerational film. I'm a young guy, my mom's an older woman, and we go on this epic, you know, bucket list adventure for the generations. But, you know, what I learned in the process was how discarded older adults are in this country, not only, you know, in their workplaces, as we see with this story, but in the small jokes that we make, in ads that we create. I mean, really, older people are invisible. Look at the rollout of the vaccine and how hard it was for older people to navigate those websites. We're not thinking about them. We're not putting them first. And so it really is.
I'm guilty of that too. Mm. I didn't think about old people. I was old, but I mean, I didn't think that this happened. I didn't know. I didn't think about it. It was a big shock to me. Mm. It's not going to happen to a lot of people anymore. It's not. And it's going to be some legislation or something. That's our campaign. No.
Yeah, we're really, we're running an impact campaign at the end of this film, which is all about sort of, you know, bringing to the light ageism and ageist notions, but also, you know, creating a forum for intergenerational care. Trying to bring younger folks and older folks together to have conversations, whether they're, you know, conversations about care or end of life, you know, dignity, aging in place, all of that. It's so important because we don't talk about it as young people, and yet we will also be old too. And so why are we betting against our own futures in sort of the actions that we take in the everyday? But it's important to note that it's not all heavy. And this was making lemonade out of lemons. The movie is certainly, Duty Free is so joyous. You leave feeling light of heart, but you're certainly sort of thinking about your family and you know, how we move in this culture today.
And he gave me the time of my life. Thank you.
You're welcome, Ma. Mm-hmm.
Duty Free plays this weekend at Mama Film Micro Cinema in Wichita. You can find more on those screenings at mama.film. Jean-Pierre Regis and Rebecca Danagelis, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Fletcher. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having us.